I wanted to start with a bit of reflection. So obviously the last record came out back in 2021. What's it like looking back on that? And I guess in more of a general sense, looking back on the work that you've done with Darkside, did you ever think that there would be a third record when you first started making music together?
Well, you know, I think one of the great things about Darkside is that it allows for change. That I think that when we first started, we were very uncalculating. We were only ever doing it in the very beginning because we were having so much fun making music together. And we were on the road and we were making new stuff and we were playing new music and improvising every night. And I think that that is imbued in like the spirit of Darkside. If there's anything that's at the core of what this band is, it's that we are trying to be present in the moment, open to change, searching for new things, all that good stuff.
Tell me the story of those early days of this album. Where were you and how did the decision come about that you'd start working on a new record?
We were on tour. We had Tlacael, who is the newest, who is the third member of the band now. We've been playing music with him we've been playing music with him for a long time. Tlac and I have known each other for like 20 years now. And we've done a lot of different things together, all three of us in different iterations, but Tlac started playing drums with us when we were doing live shows around Spiral, and we were on tour in Europe, and we had 4 days off or something, and rather than wander around the museum or go to the record shop or do the other things you do when you're on tour, we were like, this is too much time off, let's go make music. And so we set up camp in this amazing recording studio and just started making things, the three of us. And the three of us had never recorded together in the studio, so it was kind of like a, let's see what happens. Let's just experiment. Let's take this time and be creative. And then we started to hit some things that were really exciting for us and felt new and felt like there were some threads to pull. And then we were like, oh, like maybe it's time for another record. Maybe we don't need to wait 8 years. Maybe we should be making more music and recording. And it just kind of accumulated and snowballed from there.
So yeah, I want to touch on Tlacael, the new addition to the band's recording process. How did you originally meet them and why did you think they'd be a good fit to bring in on this album?
A lot of it is that all of that history, all that shared history of playing music together on and off that whole time. We met when we were in college. I went to a couple of different colleges. Eventually I graduated. But at my second stop, I met Tlacael and we were playing jazz together. At the time I was an upright bass player and he was a jazz drummer, and we played jazz in like the school cafeteria on Tuesday nights and like in jam sessions and stuff. And I just always loved his playing and we liked a lot of the same things, and he turned me on to new stuff at the time. And then when I finished school and moved back to New York, Tlac was living in New York, and he and I were in a bunch of different bands together. I played Farfisa organ in an indie rock band with him called Arms, and we like did van tours, you know, in 2009, and he played in a bunch of my projects in New York, and we did a lot of improvised music together. And he toured with Nico. He met Nico. The three of us did a thing with Will Epstein called Blade Runner that we still do whenever we can. And he's been a part of, you know, a character in my musical life for this 2 decades. And when Nico and I got back together to figure out how we wanted to play live again, because it had been a while, we started poking around at music, and then we looked at each other and we were like, we should call Tlock. I think a lot of the excitement that we felt working in the studio that first time comes from having the kind of shared experience and shared musical language that you get when you're playing on the road every night, you know, doing a long sound check, trying new things, playing long shows, improvising, and then you kind of careen into the recording studio and all of that, you know, juice is with you if you're lucky. And I think we were at the time.
Did any of that material that you made in that first studio session, did any of that end up making it onto the record? How different was the final product from what those initial ideas were like when you first got into the studio with them?
Yeah, definitely. Pieces of those sessions are in some cases central and in other cases kind of esoteric to a lot of the music on the record. Like there's stuff that was made in those first couple of days that is really definitely a huge part of the record. Like big chunks of almost the entirety of Groucho Max was done in those sessions, and a lot of guitar parts and a lot of cool drum stuff that scattered across other songs, and then snippets of things that we made, and then we were like, oh, like what if we use this for that? And the band samples itself, kind of. So like a lot of things start one way and then end up somewhere else. And there was this whole piece that we'd made that was this kind of like jazz thing, and then it turned into like a tiny chunk of something in another song.
One of my favorite things about the whole album and about the music that you guys make together is that there's no real way to know how a song is going to end up or a direction that it's going to go in. So I wanted to ask, how do you as a group start something like that? And do you just make those creative shifts on the fly, or do you discuss, you know, when you're going to change up a sound midway through a track or really flip something on its head?
all of that happens. You know, there's no program and there's no rules to the way that we make stuff. I think it's like a mix of, can we try something new and what feels exciting or interesting or fun in the moment? And if you start catching one of those feelings, then that's something that's worth chasing. And sometimes stuff will be happening, like three things will be happening at once. And like Nico is in the control room recording Tlok while he's changing some kind of arrangement, and then sampling Tlok, and I'm in the other room coming up with like an organ part, and then they finish that thing and I'm like, guys, I have an idea, let me try. And then I like lay it down real quick and they'll be like, oh, that's cool. And then I'll get a coffee and come back and the thing that I played on the organ sounds like something new, and then we're on to the next thing. And some will be like, I think we need bass, and then we'll like pick up a bass and like try something else. And it's certainly in the like composing and producing stage, it's very fluid.
And do you think that that's always been the case with the music that you've made with Nico, or do you think that's more specific to this record in general?
It's just exponential because of the presence of Tlok, and because he brings all of his own ideas and techniques and, you know, approaches to music and composition into the band. I mean, I think that it's an expansion of the way that we've always worked. There's a lot of like, not in a dogmatic way, but like we definitely lean into a like, if it's not broke, don't fix it sort of thing. If there's something in the first take that I play when I plug in the guitar, that's what we'll use. And we'll manipulate it and treat it like a sample and change something and blah, blah, blah. But there's not a lot of like laboring over, you know, the perfect this, that, or the other thing.
Are you able to break it down for me? Where was the album recorded and what was that environment like in those sessions?
The first sessions were in this like residential studio in the south of France that was between where we were on tour and where we were going next. And a dear friend of ours who is really a collaborator who is on our crew in the audio department but also mastered this new record, Pancho Bertin, was with us, and he came with us to the studio, and the rest of the crew and the gear went on to the next city. And then that was the first session. And then the second session happened at one of my favorite studios in Los Angeles called 64 Sound, that's run by a dear friend, and we worked with a great engineer there named Tyler Carman, who I've done a lot of different interesting things with, song stuff and heavy metal and free jazz. And then the final sessions were in Paris back at Pancho's studio that he runs. And that was pretty much it. It was like really, it was like a week here, a week there, a week there, and then a little bit of tweaking and then send it to Pancho for mastering.
This seems like it was a pretty quick recording process. Have the previous records been this quick as well, or do you think that's a fresh thing for you?
It's kind of in line with the way that we've always made records. Yeah, we tend to work in like intense pockets of time. You know, we'll go to a studio, or sometimes, you know, we go to a house with some gear. We did that a bit for Spiral, and kind of hunker down and be like, this is the thing that we're doing right now. Then step away and come back. And I think that what's cool about that is that you get a little bit of distance. It's not really something we do that intentionally. It's like sometimes the result of circumstance, and that we all have these other things that we do in our lives and our careers. We're not the kind of band that sets up shop for 2 months in, you know, a recording studio somewhere. It's like, this is how we work, and it feels like it works for us.
Touch on highlights, but more in the sense of moments that you enjoyed during the creating process. You know, were there any songs that stand out to you, or sessions that you did that stand out to you as part that you enjoyed or was particularly memorable from when you were recording it?
I mean, there's I'm pausing because there's so many little nuggets of memories that just came flying through, but you know, I have this thing, this is very me-centric, but I have this thing where I love playing congas, and I love congas, but it's almost like a bit that I do with myself now, or it's, I don't know anymore if it's like a good idea or it's some kind of abstract conceptual art project where like, I kind of try to play congas on every record I'm involved in, and my track record is pretty good at this point, and I was really kind of pleasantly surprised that I figured out a way to play congas on the new Dark Side record, and that like they're like very prominently featured on one of the songs, and I every time I listen to it, I'm kind of like tickled by the kind of cheekiness of like what that brought to the music. I feel like maybe I just like doing that a lot, where I like to surprise the guys and I like to make them laugh. I can vividly remember when I played the guitar solo for Paper Trails. When we were recording it, Nico was like on the other side of the glass, like laughing. And like, I think about that now when we're on tour every time I play that solo. And so I'm always like looking for moments like that, because I feel like even in the kind of, you know, I don't know what you call the music we make, but like I find a lot of joy in it, and I like making my friends feel joy through music. And I feel like I got there with the congas on this one.
So creative shifts and improvisation are such a centerpiece of this album. Looking at the record now that it's finished, are there any songs or moments where you feel like that shone through specifically?
There's like a couple of moments, like at the end of Sino Soul, where the mountain of distortion comes in, and every time I hear it, I'm surprised. And I'm like surprised that we got there. And like the journey to that was like strange and interesting. And like I wouldn't have expected that that was how that song would end when we started making it. And the moment of like where like the kind of funky country twang guitar comes in the middle of Are You Tired is like a great moment of surprise to me, even though I played the guitar part. And like I think that having those sorts of things on this record is maybe like a little bit new for us, and I find it to be exciting at least. Something that we did in the last session was, you know, we'd pause periodically, not too much, and we'd listen through to the whole thing where it was at. When someone had that idea and we were ready to do that, then that was already an indicator. We got to zoom out. And as soon as you start zooming out, then I think a lot of things start to make themselves clear. And I think that, you know, the first time that we listen to everything and in context, it made sense in our own totally idiosyncratic logic, then I think I was like, yeah, oh, we're almost there. Dave Harrington from Dark Side, and you're listening to Totally Wired on 95 BFM with Hunter. Wait, let me do one more. Oh, wait, hold on. Hey, this is Dave from Dark Side, and you're listening to Totally Wired with Hunter on 95 BFM. Jam on.